You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Just chilling. Chilling at 7:01 p.m. on the East Coast. This is quite frankly, we're having such a good time here tonight. It's going to be another good night of work. Got to do the show with everybody. That's not work, though. That's play. And then after, got to go into the other room to record drum tracks for the newest Set the Charge song, which that's not work either. So we're here at the beginning of a long night of play, I guess. And that's good. That's a good sign. Now, most nights it doesn't feel like play, but tonight it does. So that's a good sign, especially when you have to record drum tracks. Because I'll tell you something. You might think that it just takes hitting the pads to record a song, but you can tell when somebody just doesn't have it. For that session, at least. You can tell when there's an energy out there. Any musician, their energetic footprint is on that music. Energy of the day of. Okay, you can have a shit album, shit presentation, and go out and kill it live every time. You know, I don't know. It's just good. It's just the way it is. But other than that, it's going to be a good night here. I hope you guys are chilling and having a good time. You can start drinking now. I just realized that the Skype was not on. And hello, Gadget Doc, Nikki, Rumble and War, Anonymous, that's me, Murr, and then a bunch of other Anonymouses. Last night, I always have these episodes uploaded onto SoundCloud, which then goes and bounces off every other platform that we're put up at. And I couldn't do it. I tried uploading the track last night 3 times, and it was uploading at the clip. I don't know. It was like at 5% after 15 minutes of uploading. And I was like, what the fuck? So I thought something was wrong with my internet. But in either case, it ended up not working. This morning, I just went to go check it before I left the house, and it didn't work. So I had to re-upload it. This time it worked quickly. So by 8 o'clock I had it up. Thankfully, I had already lost the track twice. So the third time that I had to rewrite the description, I said, I better save this somewhere so that if I lose the track again, at least I can just copy and paste and it's up. Boy, oh boy. Foresight. Even if it takes a couple of tries, you'll get your foresight. Okay, so moving on. I had some thoughts I wanted to bring up yesterday, but I didn't have time to. And it was thoughts about that we were having on Friday about the election. Matt had noticed some things. Matt, I left you, both of your guys' stuff muted because I figured you guys were house hunting. So just signal me down if you want to say something.
All right. Both.
Okay. No, I don't know, because you guys are talking to each other. Matt and Mike are looking for houses in the Adirondacks right now to buy.
Or rent. You know anybody?
Oh, you want to know, before we get around to this, because this came up before too. So now here's for everybody. Here's a little bit of a personal story that's developing right now. So we like to go up to the Adirondacks couple times a year, usually during the nice, crisp, cool to cold weather, so that we can just let the fire rage for 3 days and chill out and use what little Wi-Fi we have just to watch Netflix, or we've watched the entire Star Wars double trilogies in order, or in the prescribed order. And just really good. Only thing is that our friends that own the house up there, they are selling it, and they've been trying to sell it for some time, and we were able to get a few more trips up there before they actually sold it, because they had a buyer, then they didn't have a buyer, and then we're like, okay, well, can we please put down the best week in October or late September that we can see peak foliage up there? You know, just have like a fall experience. Because we didn't have a good fall. We didn't have a fall experience up there. We had an August experience, a couple of those, and it was too late in the fall season. We got up there, it was already brown. So we never really had a good season. And he said, we'll go up there Columbus Day weekend. And now there's a buyer again, and we might lose the weekend unless he's able to push the closing date to the day after that we get out of there on that Sunday before Columbus Day. And of course, this has us all spooked, because we want to go up there and hang out in that house one more time in the middle of the autumn and watch Stranger Things and just chill out and detach from all the shit. We don't go anywhere. We're pretty local. You know, all of our work is local. We have a pretty tight knit, but we don't go anywhere. We have too much over our heads. We can't go anywhere. So it's good to go away like this. But now Matt and Mike, they've been looking at options.
I found one for $100 a night.
Here's the funny thing, though. Matt goes and says,
no.
No, it's funny. I actually took a picture of the screen. I took a screenshot to make sure I got the right thing in there. Photos. Okay, so Matt, it is today. No, that's yesterday. It's 12:32 p.m., 12:32 p.m., then 12:33 p.m. I got to go back to that. Hold on a second. In Voxer. Right, you guys got to hear this. Let me see. No, here it is. What the fuck is this? No, that's not it. There it is. Okay, so this is what I thought was funny. Okay, hold on.
Well, we can all just...
Here, this is funny. Now, Matt starts, he starts coming up with these ideas of how we can get around this terrible ordeal. So listen to this.
Fucking buy some land there, and I can literally fucking build a house room by room. I can literally do that. I know how to fucking pour foundations on a house. I fucking did this, helped doing the foundation on, if you go from Edison School, that street, that house that's behind that really big ass, like, four family house. There's a house to the left of that. I fucking helped do the foundation in that house, bro. I know how to build shit, bro. I know how to use tape measures. I know the numbers. I can fucking build shit, and it comes out all like fitting perfect, bro. You know?
And now, listen to what he just said. Okay? Those were both at 12:32 p.m. At 12:33 p.m., it's almost as if he realized everything he said was just the worst idea, and he was just really genuinely scared. Because listen to this. Remember everything he just said. Here's the thing that came in right after it. Hold on.
If she sells that house, I'll fucking kill him.
He sells that house, I'll fucking kill him.
Like, it's all of a sudden he realizes the house is the only option we have. Oh my God! I took a screenshot of it. I had to take a screenshot of it. It was that funny, and I knew it was suitable for on air. Sometimes it's just not suitable. Oh my God! So, dude, that'd be great if you built us a house. I would love it.
I could build a fucking, like,
Okay, well, in either case, here's the next thing that I want to bring up, now that we got that out of the way. That's a developing story. We'll give you guys more updates with that. Now, on Friday, we had some election talk, and like I said, I didn't like some of the things that we were talking about. Not the things that we were talking about. I didn't like the way I was unable to articulate myself that night. And I was kind of stammering around, and I was listening to it over again because I need to make sense of catastrophes, okay? And even though you guys might not think it was a catastrophe at all, I'm very hard on myself. So I went back to assess the damage, and I realized that what I wanted to say, and I summarized it very easily. Matt, I think this is where you come in too, because you're talking about how you're just going nuts with watching people and they're rationalizing over political candidates, especially when you know the person is just really not someone who should be spoken to about, you know, to have any kind of a conversation with, that is of any kind of substance. Like, the people who have crowned themselves king of all opinions are really staggering to me. Really staggering to me to say, oh my God.
The only thing I say when I've asked someone, like, can you give an example of how Trump was racist, is they brought up that his company was sued whenever it was, and he said it was because of the policy, the company policy. I asked if he can, like, prove something, like show a printout of the company policy stating that, and he didn't. So, you know.
Well, people,
who got
listen,
sued, Donald Trump or the company? Like,
hey, listen, if you're talking to a believer, they just know their points. They're not there to ask to know the science. If anybody talked to you about climate change and you asked them that very simple question that Liam Sheff posed to us, what is climate? They're not going to be able to tell you. They're not going to be able to tell you where lightning or thunder comes from or anything. They're not going to be able to tell you anything, but they're going to be able to tell you definitively about climate change and poles and polar bears. Ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. But in either case, they all have voices now, even though they all tend to see, everybody on Facebook tends to forget what we see them posting the rest of the year when it's not fashionable to post about anything that's current or anything that would actually lend other people to assume that you're actually more well-read beyond the headlines. Okay, it's almost like people don't. But then again, look at the politicians and look at the people who run the country. They say things and do things as if we don't have them saying and doing completely opposite things just 2 years before. Like, they're not surrounded by cameras and social media. They weren't tweeting every goddamn thought that came to their head and they didn't think twice about it. I mean, everybody is so exposed in their hypocrisy. Everybody. Yeah. And I'm talking about people who live in hypocritical ways. If you're a person of principle, you're going to navigate through things pretty well. You're going to still come under attack, but you know what I mean. You will be unaffected by most of the things that people are destroyed about over. That's what I mean. It's more so in a way that you're able to shield yourself from the real psychological warfare that's going on every day. Media, entertainment, the social media, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. We were talking about this. What was that leak a couple of years ago where they started first covering the stories of digital ways to brainwash a public into thinking that the mass amount of people, the critical mass, are thinking a certain way. They're doing a certain thing. A certain way of living has been normalized, and you should think this way too, because they're seeing inflated likes to dislike numbers on something. They're seeing, smart AI type of trolls that are leaving a lot of different types of anecdotally based comments on posts, videos, whatever it is. We know about that. It's been, I have to actually dig that up again, see what the name of the operation was, or some, I don't know what it was that was uncovered, exposed. Maybe GadgetDoc can find it. Somebody in there put it in the chat room. But you know, otherwise, if you don't have those guiding principles or anything that really anchors you to reality and you have any kind of balance, balanced opinion, then, I mean, it's a real scary world out there. It's a fucking...
What's a balanced opinion from someone like that?
From someone like what?
Like...
The person that you were talking to?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no clue. He's not balanced. When you sit there, like you were saying, if a person sits there and they will go on about the unbelievable, the endless laundry list as to why Donald Trump should not be president, and all of them have to do with, well, he said he's a racist, and he said racist things, and oh, Rosie O'Donnell, oh, and he women and women 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 and racist and racist and bigot. And you say, okay, so we're talking about spun bullshit by media, by catering to the most hypersensitive people that they've created. That they've created this hypersensitive culture, and they're throwing fuel into the fire they created because they know how to keep the fire burning because they've learned how to profit off of it. You know, so there's no anybody who can't see through that shit and rationalizes away things that are not actually real issues, but just emotional pleas. You can't put that over what we have seen come out of Hillary Clinton. So there are two things that can happen on Election Day. You have two options on Election Day. This is what I was trying to say on Friday. You have two options on Election Day, as I see it at least. Number one, you assert the right to vote. You see it as an obligation. And you vote third party or Donald Trump. Okay? And for you never Trumpers who have rationalized the vote for Hillary Clinton, you're virtually fighting the tides. If you think there is any integrity left in that stance, every time something new comes out about Hillary Clinton, the operations she was running, how it was pretty much pay for play at the State Department, And Huma Abedin was pretty much the liaison between all those deals, people dropping money into the Clinton Foundation and then magically getting pushed to the line of getting meetings. Pretty much only, it was just like she's only talking to donors when she's supposed to be working for us. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, you're talking about a person who had a shot in one of the most influential, if not the most influential, foreign policy making position. She already had a shot. What do we have Donald Trump? There's no amount of Trump stakes that people were dissatisfied with that were freezer burn, and he was caught selling freezer burnt steaks or whatever the fuck the new stupid the cheapskate type of narrative story that comes out. Oh, he didn't pay here. He refused to pay people here. He refused to pay people there. How can you imagine if the only thing that Hillary Clinton had on her was that she gypped a few people that worked for them and maybe withheld money because they were unsatisfied with something that could arbitrarily being said? They're not unsatisfied. They just wanted the free work. You know, I've already criticized him over use of eminent domain. I don't like that at all. I mean, you can say that he's already used federal power to his own personal gain. But then again, you can also counter that by saying, what other gain is there in that position when you're just you're a real estate developer that's working for yourself? You're not thinking about the presidency. You're looking to make money. So in that respect, once again, is it a matter of law or a matter of taste? But in either case, you have all this. And your second option is you abstain from the vote. We can go on and on and on. But that's it. Everybody has two options. If you're going to look at this from a completely unbiased perspective, okay? You're going to completely detach yourself from it and disavow yourself of any emotional attachment to the situation. You're going to do all that stuff. Then you, as a rational person who's just going to call it as you see it, you have two options. In my opinion, at least. You either vote third party if you think you need to vote, or you vote Donald Trump. That's it. If you can't do Trump, you can't do Hillary, then you can still practice your right to choose the vote. Go throw it out there to Jill Stein. That's the other thing. You can't go to Gary Johnson. That's the other thing. You can't go to Gary Johnson either, because Gary Johnson is now becoming another pick to know that he's going to be cutting into Trump's votes. He's in there to hack down Trump at the knees. The only candidate Gary Johnson can really take away from and hurt is Donald Trump. So maybe, unless if you're trying to be indirectly more Hillary than Trump, you have to vote Gary Johnson. But if you really want to say, I reject what is on the table and not influence any of the two willingly, unless you think that Gary Johnson really speaks to you and he's speaking your language, then I guess go right for it. In which case, you just voted for Hillary. It's never ending. Well, in either case, I'm going to take a really quick break. Listen to the music a little bit, and we will be right back.
ZenLive.tv.
Okay. Grammatic, just jamming. Let's put on another song. What is tickling my... Oh, shit. I just saw what I wanted. And I shuffled away from it. Damn it. I saw Mambo Italiano. I was going for it, then I pressed shuffle again. Let me see if it comes up again. Hold on. Come on, give it to me. No, but just as good.
Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette con butto belle partigiane.
Okay, so here's what I wanted to come up with. Here's the next thing I wanted to put out there. Another lesson that I picked up today, and I want to see if you guys think that this lesson was a bad one or not. So you get a call in after this one, hopefully. So here's this whole thing with Zika and Planned Parenthood. Now, $1.1 billion was a $1.1 billion Zika relief something was stopped again by Democrats in the House or something like that. It might have been just in Florida. I don't know. In either case, it was stopped by the political story is it was stopped by Democrats. And the reason why it was stopped by Democrats is because Republicans wanted in Florida wanted to put in a clause. Pretty much they wanted to put a stick in the spokes that and put in some language that restricts the role of Planned Parenthood and similar clinics in providing contraceptive services related to fighting the Zika virus. Because, you know, and now this is what it comes down to. And there are also some... that's right. There's another silly thing in there. They also wanted to put in there that the right for people to fly the Confederate flag should be protected and without being crucified. And that was in there, which, you know, perhaps people should be allowed to, since there's apparently no more pure form of expression these days than, you know, burning or wiping your ass with the flag of the Union, which was flown during the defeat of the Confederacy. You know, that's okay, burning the flag of the Union and wiping your ass with it and doing anything else you can in public, stomping on it. But that's besides the point, you know. just one crazy thing at a time. So Planned Parenthood, this is an organization that receives about $500 million a year in federal subsidies. And some would say, it's not even a lot of money, $500 million. $500 million, not even a lot of money. But the sum doesn't matter, okay? That's the whole point with this. We'll get around to it. Sum doesn't matter. Once the investment is made by the federal government for some kind of cause, okay, it is... I don't like this song. Well, I don't like it tonight, at least. Here you go. I'm staying classy tonight. Well, this is actually just a little bit more gritty. Early grit. So once the investment is made, the initial investment, Planned Parenthood, we're going to start subsidizing it. That's the investment. It becomes normalized immediately. And it becomes politicized by whoever controls the money and the media narrative surrounding where the money is going, how it's being used, and you know, what is being pushed and what is being really promoted then by government. Because we've all seen what Planned Parenthood provides compared to other places, and they're actually pretty wanting for all of those, you know, healthcare services that they say that they're giving. You know, healthcare. That's the term that's used. Once the investment is made, so you know, with public support, enough public support that Planned Parenthood has, especially over the last couple of years, how much they gained, it would most certainly be able to raise twice the amount if it was it's given in federal subsidies, if people are simply just not taxed as much, urged to make donations to, you know, their favorite organizations or private organizations, do whatever the hell they want. If you have the money, and if you're really that generous, then you should definitely be giving it, because you're that generous. So if the federal government stopped taking the taxes out of your paycheck tomorrow for something that went toward, you know, let's say Planned Parenthood, whatever your share of it is, let's say you saved a couple of dollars. What, is that really a bad thing that you have that however many dollars left to yourself to then go to Planned Parenthood's website and drop the money in yourself? It's not the point. We need everybody to do it. But what if everybody doesn't want to do it? But it's for the good of everybody. What if some people don't believe that and they don't want to take part in it? Well, they have to, because it's for the good of people whether they believe it or not. Okay, there, crazy fucking fascist. You fucking crazy people. It's not even about religion or morality as much as it is leave people alone. You understand? Leave people alone. And they'll leave you alone, especially if they don't like you. But what if they do something to me? If they actually commit a violent crime against you, a theft, or some kind of threat, there is ways to go and defend yourself. And there are agencies, our police forces. We're not talking about anarchy here. We're talking about just letting people have their own fucking money without it being taken from them on a majority vote from a populace that has been brainwashed by a bought and sold media. And reasonable people who are liberal and progressive, who would go and give their money and their time and start private organizations that wouldn't be squelched out by government. Think about all the great liberal and progressive spokespeople. And people who are really, you know, maybe liberal-leaning in a healthier way are being squelched out because, you know, it's hard. You want to talk about competition? What happens when you're a private charity and your biggest competition is the federal government? Because that's what the federal government is now. It's a bloated welfare state, which is just all charity that's based on involuntary taxation. Mandatory taxation. It's supposed to be taxation without representation? No. But that doesn't matter anymore. It's like people don't even grasp it. Everybody wants to talk about what we have a duty to do. What's the duty? What are you talking about? Are you doing it? You know, are you helping? Are you getting your hands dirty? Are you going to the soup kitchens and stuff? Are you doing? I'll tell you one thing, and that's the one thing I'll always say. Right now, we don't have much, so we don't have much to give away. But whatever we have ever made over here has gone to local charities, and we responded to Haiti. We actually raised money with Ustream. We got that telethon type of thing started with them. We had people from Haiti calling in, thanking us, whatever. We raised about $2,200 on the air that night, and we sent it through a client of mine's charity. He's a gastroenterologist in at New York Presbyterian Hospital. He's a brilliant man, and he does great, great charitable work. And he, you know, we did all those concerts we did at the church.
Yeah.
We didn't take all of that money was donated.
Really?
To the church and to Gilda's Club in White Plains. I mean, that's just it, man. I don't know the last time I even spoke about that. I actually feel a little foolish talking about it. But we you know, haven't brought that up, like, ever. It's just something we did. You know, I don't think about... I wonder if the Portchester Little League will ever give me some money for the 10 years of coaching I do. And to think that I'm told... That's the reason why I get so fucking incensed by it. Because I'm supposedly on the other side of the argument so many times from these uppity liberal types. Okay, I'm always the black sheep on the other side of the argument that people don't even want to look me in the eye because they know how I roll. Meanwhile, knowing the way I live, without any, you know, forcing, and knowing the way that they just talk, that is really infuriating. And you can't get that point across without talking about the things that you do. And then, of course, it's the most unflattering thing to do when you talk about the things you do sometimes. But that's the thing that gets me really pissed off. I think I just put that together for myself on a subconscious level. Motherfuckers. So, with the public support that Planned Parenthood has, you'd think that they would be able to get so much money. 100%. If somebody said, oh no, Planned Parenthood's going out of business, we need to rally to their cause, they'd probably raise like $3 billion. What George Soros wouldn't spare. George Soros just gave $70 billion. $70 billion to Black Lives Matter over the last couple of years. Okay? That's almost a fifth of what Planned Parenthood gets from the federal government. You see, but they don't want you guys to see them donating to help. They're donating their time and their money. The people who actually can make a difference. They're both donating their time and their money to rabble-rousing. Of making more people upset. More people feel like shit. This goes beyond a donkey and an elephant, my friends. Goes beyond a donkey and an elephant. It's not about parties. This is a far-reaching unilateral front. It's a far-reaching unilateral front. Don't you dare think that Barack Obama and Angela Merkel and people of the sort are not under. It's a worldwide ideology. It's got its tentacles in every country. We're just fighting back a little bit harder right now. So the thing about that, you're on the other side of the aisle from people like that. Fuck that shit. But the sum doesn't matter. $500 million doesn't matter, because once a heart tug program is installed, it's immediately held hostage. So, good song. Good song. This kind of has a little bit of a Parisian feel toward the end. Hold on. Where? Let's get to it. Ah, here we go. So I was having a little Parisian fail. I'd like to be sitting... I'd like to be smoking a J on a sidewalk cafe somewhere. Yeah, man, let's just go, man. Teleportation? Sign me up for that teleportation. I want it.
I volunteered for the training of the experiments.
So here it is. So pretty much, if it's $1,000 at this point, that went to be cut from cute and cuddly bunnies, Incorporated. It would have been game over. Harry Reid would come out with his high voice, his squeaky voice. And he'd start kicking and screaming. He could barely speak. He'd be like, "It's appalling. It's appalling that in this day and age, Republicans would consider cutting funding for cute and fuzzy bunnies just to score political points. I'm completely missing the irony by coming out here and addressing this with the sole purpose of scoring political points. And now I'm going to go back to my lair. Thank you." The Honorable Harry Reid. So, I don't even give a shit anymore. Not about that anyway. So let's get around to some other stuff. Let's see what's going on in the chat room first. Tentacles is close enough to testicles. Drink. Oh, I haven't said anything of an anatomical or sexual nature tonight yet. I have to start dropping little testicle bombs in there. Oh, that's, by the way, it's 7:40 fun. So I want to say something real quick. I want to go through my plugs, because especially today, I started writing all of the monthly letters for the Patreon 1776 Club. So I did 3 out of 5 of them. Nikki got hers written. I wrote one out to Moonlit Matt. And who else got one written out today? Forgot. I think Andrew. I don't know. We'll see. But in either case, that's going to be a lot of fun. I have two more to write, and I can't wait. It's so good writing these letters out. Matt, you start writing letters.
I'm not a good, penmanship.
Yeah. I'll read some on the... Actually, some of you guys... That would be funny if you guys called in afterwards and you read the letters if you wanted to. I don't care. You can read the letters on air. I just looked down the hallway. I see all the doors are open. I just saw Anthony scoot down with the, whatchamacallit? Oh, the segways. You know, we might get 3 more of those. That's going to be funny. If we get to go down the hallway riding in tight formations with, like, the stone look face on our emotionless faces, that'd be really funny. If we all had capes on. That'd be great. But in either case, everybody, if you like the show, please share it with people, friends, family members, enemies, anyone you think would enjoy it, or anybody you think might be on the fence of something that might be considered a rational thought. And they might want, not saying that I peddle only rational thoughts, but I'm saying that this is a forum that we like to hammer out thoughts and their irrationality, if there is any, or sometimes just completely accept that we want to be irrational. That's something also that you have an option to do. Just be honest about it. I want to be irrational, goddammit. The Quite Frankly podcast is listed on all major platforms. Even if you listen every night, do me a solid, all right? Head to iTunes, search Quite Frankly, and subscribe, leave some stars, and write a review. And even if you just wanted to say, 5 stars for Frank, I don't agree with anything he says, but I really like the way that he tries. Just be positive about your negativity or your criticism. You know? That could be good, too. And then also with Patreon, $1, $5, $10, or the renowned 1776 Club, you guys, anything you feel I am worth by all means, go ahead and contribute to the future growth of this show and, of course, the network. And if you have any other ideas that you want to contribute to this broadcast network, including any kind of bits on the man on the street type of stuff, journalism, investigative journalism, any kind of commentary or analysis you want to provide that you think would be a good bit or would be just good for the website, would be good for the new YouTube that we're going to start refurbishing, anything that you want to do, contact me, frank@zenlive.tv. Let's go on a really quick break. We'll come back for the last 12 minutes of the show. And then a couple other announcements. Be right back, yo.
Network on
I know that was a really short break, but I had to get back quickly because I saw all the things I still haven't talked about yet. First of all, if you're watching right now, we talked about gay Star Wars last night. Okay, now I know that when you listen back to it, it sounded like I was really just angry with gay people at first. I'm not angry with gay people. I'm angry with this LGBT crew. You know what I'm talking about. The cool kids crew. Okay, they're the new cool kids in the fucking cafeteria, and they're able to beat people up now. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the incessant, the obsession, the twisted sex obsession and everything. That's pretty much all it is. Another one. Check this out. Today, here you go. Another one, fan art. This is what comes by my dash every day, and I'm not even subscribed to this blog. Now it's just being suggested to me. That's Finn, I guess, dressed up as Princess Leia. And Poe, like, damn, Finn, you look great. And then I guess that's Rey over there, and she looks like more of a boy than all of them. And then down there, it's like, oh. And I look at the caption. This is what happens when you read too many Space Prince Finn fix and you think about how cute Finn would look in Leia's clothes. You see what I'm talking about? People, this is what so many people are just obsessed with. And then, when they have their imagination run all over the place with this, and something happens in an actual film, later in the series, or the trilogy, or whatever the hell it is, later in the narrative, it is somewhere confirmed, or, you know, the opinion is lent, at least, that the character is not the sexuality that everybody around the world projected onto them. And then you get the backlash from the crazies who were really bummed out when they found out that, whatchamacallit, Captain America wasn't gay with Bucky or whatever. They wanted it to be so. And when they found, and when they reminisced together about their days chasing skirts back in the United States, and like, you know, the 40s, they thought it was a really, some people, you can go and Google it, it'll pop up, it's crazy, it's not worth even noting, they don't even need fucking, it happened, just they got really bummed out that all of the doubt and the rumor that could have been homosexual tension between Captain America and Bucky was all but lost then, because they were talking about how they clearly like girls. And that's what I'm talking about. That's not healthy shit, man. That's not part of being gay. That's some people with mental disorders that are expressing it through their gay. I don't know how to say it. I don't know. That's what happens when somebody takes a detail out of their life and stretches it across their face to make it the mask, the entire thing. It's like, how can you make your whole life centered around a detail? It's ridiculous. So that's one. Here you go. Social justice warriors clash over transphobic if men had periods hashtags. I love when these crazies start cannibalizing, auto-cannibalizing, like eating themselves. Like watching a snake try to devour itself. It's hilarious. So pretty much really ironic and edgy feminists, they started if men had periods hashtag just to try to show how... Listen, even I can see why you would do it, femmes out there. I totally get it. It's a spoof on, you know, it just goes to show how much better at suffering and taking pain and dealing with hardship women are over men. And you're going to talk about how they'll whine and moan and, you know, they'll do this and they'll compare how big their tampons are and all that stupid shit. We get it. I understand it. But you don't understand. You've lumped yourself in with the crazies. You've forgotten the other monsters that you carry around with you in your back pocket and try to steer like the wind-up toys that they are. Okay? You're talking... You couldn't have seen this? Couldn't have seen this coming? Listen to this. If men had periods hashtag, a feminist hashtag mocking what it would be like if males menstruated, cause a huge storm on Twitter with... Trigger. Actually, that's what it is. Trigger. We should start a new microblogging platform called Trigger, where you're only allowed to say things that are offensive. Holy shit, that'd be great. Is that a real thing?
What?
Trigger? Or a concept like Trigger?
Probably.
So here's some of... Look, Micah Fox, if men had periods, they'd... Oh, well, let me... No, that's not it. A large vocal group of people, however, did not find the hashtag humorous, citing transgendered males as the reason why the hashtag was both invalid and offensive. Someone said, ugh, seriously, the if men had periods tag is vile. Trans men exist and do have periods, and cis women erasing them is not okay, posted one angrily. Imagine that. Think about this. Men had periods is vile. If trans men exist and do have periods, and cis women erasing them is not okay. So now you have feminist cisgendered women that are being accused of erasing and invalidating and illegitimizing the claims of trans men who still menstruate. Welcome to the Freak Show.
So are they comparing organs?
Welcome.
Because I just looked up here. I said, what's more painful, getting kicked in the nuts or giving birth? Dude, it says, how many times have you been kicked in the nuts in your life, Frank?
Once or twice.
Really? I've been at least three or four. Probably more than that.
A lot of times, it was like light flicks that did the worst damage.
Fuck. I guess if you get kicked... You know, actually, it doesn't even need to be hard. It says a kick in the balls is equal 9,000 Dell units of pain, which is equal to breaking up to 3,200 bones and giving birth to 160 children at once.
Who said this?
Some science thing, I think it is.
Wait, can you say that statistic again?
It's... 9,000 Dell units? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, say...
9,000 of pain, which is equal to breaking up to 3,200 bones and giving birth to 160 children at once.
How many bones do we have? 116?
Nowhere near that.
We have 116 bones or something like that?
Well, I guess if we had more bones, that's what it would be equivalent to, because you can't give birth to 160. I guess pain is measured in Dell units? I don't know.
It's definitely not. That's definitely bullshit, but it's funny. It's funny. 3,200 bones.
I hear another one that says 45 Dells will limit pain can endure. This one says the same thing. It's 9,000 whatever a Dell is of pain. Where's science? Gadget Doc. He'll tell you. He's probably been kicked in the nuts before, too.
Gadget Doc says I've been kicked in the nuts a lot. roughly 206 bones. Did I say 216 or 116? Because I hope that I at least got 216. Shit. I don't want to be that off. I was getting that question right on fucking Trivia Crack three times a day.
All right, this one's, I guess, the other one. This one says it's equivalent to breaking 20 bones.
Getting kicked square in the nuts?
Yeah.
Man. Man, oh, man. Oh, here's another quick announcement. Starting next week, after the Monday night show at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock when we end, we're going to be syndicating the most recent episode of Common Sense Podcast by Sam Fukuyama Sutra and R. Trixie from Tumblr and Twitter and CommonSensePost.net. We feature Common Sense Post news feeds, I think, on ZenLive.tv, but we're going to be doing a little bit more work with each other. You'll probably see a little bit more cross-promotion to help expand the audiences, and we wanted to have more good content on here. So the Sunday edition of Common Sense Post podcast is going to be up on every Monday here at 8 o'clock. Three-drink minimum is taking a little bit of a hiatus, so we're just playing around with some empty space that we got. So it's going to be good. That's what, number one. We'll get him a bio page on the site and all that stuff, too. Let's see if there's anything else we can get through here, because I don't think the 8 o'clock is on here at all tonight. Let me see here. Lena Dunham.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. She's... Girl, look at the way that she's... Hold on. Lena, girl star apology to Odell Beckham Jr. missed the mark, which shows that she isn't taking the critique seriously. Okay? By now, we have all heard Lena Dunham's comments from an interview she participated in with Amy Schumer, where the two... Another just ugh. Amy Schumer looks like what dry heaving feels like. Okay? It's just a sense of helplessness. And you can't stop it.
That's a good one.
It's a sense of helplessness and you just can't stop it. Where the two discuss NFL star, New York Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who Dunham was seated next to at a Met Gala last week. What the comments boil down to is yet another example of entitlement and insecurity wrapped up in pseudo-feminist outrage from Dunham. So she goes on to say, I was sitting next to Odell Beckham Jr., and it was so amazing because it was like he looked at me and he determined that I was not the shape of a woman by his standards. He was like, that's a marshmallow, that's a child, that's a dog. It wasn't mean, he just seemed confused. My vibe was very much like, do I want to fuck it? Do I want to fuck it? Is it wearing a... she's speaking in his voice. The vibe was very much like... She's talking about Odell Beckham's vibe. Very much like, do I want to fuck it? Is it wearing a... Yep. It's wearing a tuxedo. I'm going back to my cell phone. Because, you know, this is the way she dressed. Hold on, let me show you. Frumpy. Where is she? What the fuck? Yeah, hold on. Capture. Wait. I thought there was another bit. There was a better picture. But in either case, look at her, Matt. She's wearing, like, you know, her hair is, like, pulled to the side and looks like it hasn't been washed in a while. She has those stupid fucking glasses and that's those stupid lips, those stupid cheeks, and that stupid chin.
And her stupid fucking brain.
And that stupid ears.
Stupid fucking
and that stupid
idiot.
Tie. She didn't fucking stupid tie. That's stupid. She's a stupid jacket.
Yeah.
Her hair color is stupid. Eyeliner, stupid eyeliner. Just stupid eyeliner. This was just not put together well. In either case.
Whore.
Come on, dude. Jesus. It's like we were forced to be together, and he literally was scrolling Instagram rather than have a look at a woman in a bow tie. I was like, this should be called the Metropolitan Museum of Getting Rejected by Athletes. This despite the likelihood that Beckham didn't talk to Dunham because he didn't know who she was, which it's linked to a story that covers that, But it was also entirely possible that he did know who she was and that he didn't want to talk to her because of how problematic and boring she is. The most self-absorbed oblivious straight girl out of straight girls would think that she was being edgy by wearing a fucking suit, as if it was extremely successful, as if an extremely successful, well-traveled black man like Beckham had never seen a woman in a suit before. Side eye.
I see women in pantsuits all the time. Not all of them can pull it off. Sorry.
All that aside, we could also talk about the author of this article. I'll tell you who it is, because this is a person who deserves a little bit of attention for some good writing. Said how Dunham's comments play into the stereotypes of the hypersexualization of black men, especially athletes, and how damaging the historically significant it is that white people continue to project their fears and insecurities onto black bodies. That's a really good... Oh, see, this is why if you learn, you read anything. Read fiction, and you'll learn about human psychology. Read Stephen King. Read anything. Read anything. Read Philip Roth. Just go out there and read stuff, and you'll learn about human behavior and why they do things, what they're probably thinking, because these are pretty much testaments of people who were thinking this way and had interviewed people who thought this way, depending on what you're reading, if it's a medical journal. I mean, it's so easy. And when you have that and you combine it with good writing, you're able to open people's eyes to subtle psychological flaws in mole people. Like Princess Mole Woman over here. Frumpy Dunham. Here's another one. Her performance of victimhood and fragility, as if she was being harmed by Beckham sitting next to her and ignoring her, in the self-serving, opportunistic way that she and Schumer communicated their woe-is-me sentiments in order to play up how hard and horrible it is looking homely and plain amongst athletes and supermodels at the Met Gala. Yeah, that's the other thing. If you want to talk about body positivity and you know, just loving yourself for what you are and not really caring about making any changes to your physical appearance and toning up, because at that point you can't, because your own followers and the people who actually go and buy into your act or watch your show or want your product, they'll think that you've abandoned them. Okay, you can't tell me that pressure doesn't exist as well. That big artists tend to think, I better stay at least a little hefty or else, they're going to turn on me. You know? Then I was about to say, well, look what happened to Jared from Subway. But then I'd have to imagine that Jared from Subway was like that when he was fat as well. I don't know.
Jared?
Who knows? Probably. And here's the other thing.
Money.
The last thing about Lena Dunham, and what we should also talk about that really is not there on the surface of this whole Odell Beckham Jr. thing. White feminism's shallow analysis when it comes to body positivity, which basically boils down to, well, if he was supposed to desire objectify me, well, he was supposed to desire objectify me, and how these two conventionally sized, able-bodied white women have built careers around trying to monetize a body positive movement that is for by large women. Women of color, and visibly disabled women. See, all these things, you can't... When you live the way that people like Lena Dunham live, with their constant peacocking, just walking around, just peacocking, making statements and half-assed, giving half-assed opinions that just don't make sense, and you have to live like this. And you have to be this edgelord for the rest of your life, always riding that edge. Holy shit. It's just... I'm glad that people are breaking her down psychologically now, because she just needs to be fucking brought in, cooled off. All right, that's it for tonight. Tomorrow, sex robots. We got to talk about that tomorrow. Guys, like clockwork, as soon as I mentioned it on the show last night, I went to go check the headlines one more time before I went to bed, and here's the headline. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Metro.co.uk. Sex robots will be better in bed than any human being, expert promises. So you want to talk about all
bite your dick off,
dude? We've been fine. Dude, did I actually start?
Or it's vagina.
I should have
fucking
started.
Fries your dick off.
A sex robots stories folder. I have to, because we've been following this for a while. How they're first talking about how it's going to help cure loneliness.
Anal?
Dude, it's a robot. You can cut a hole in it and screw the new hole.
But what if it gets intelligent enough to be like, I'm not letting you use me anymore? Shit like that.
Then you're going to have to just, you're going to have to do what needs to be done. You're going to have to do what needs to be done. And there's going to be sex robot decency laws, I'm telling you. Because people are going to get these, some people are going to buy these robots just to take out their aggression on it and have ultra-violent sex with it, punch the fuck out of it, just beat it up. There's going to be some disturbing things done with these robots, and people are going to start legislating how we treat the non-humans. You watch. You're not even going to be able to do what you want with a robot. Okay, so we'll be back with that tomorrow night. And I hope you guys have a good one. I don't know. Yeah, so Johnny, we'll talk about that one tomorrow night. You got to call in for that one. Every time that sex robot stuff has showed up in on this show, Johnny Vroom has been on there to help usher it in to new and fruitful conclusions. So, Nikki says, one of the notes on it, operational notes, do not fuck in the bathtub. Yeah, that's it. Jenny Lee knows what's up. All right, everybody, rumble and roar. Frank, let me thank everybody. And for the people that I work for every night, officially, on the books, the people that I call my bosses, Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Varis, Max Ancaparato. I don't use your names if you don't want them used, but then again, I won't ever link your usernames with you either, because I know a lot of people that donate don't even watch regularly. Mr. Matt Smith, Mr. Sean Collins, and Mad Mints. Thank you, guys. Thank you, boss. I hope I did you well tonight. And I'll come back out tomorrow night and try to do it better than tonight. It'll be a good one. It'll be a Thursday. I'll be nice and tired from a good workout. Good night, guys.